We continue our learning of the Nishmas David ben Nacharus and Chayakov and Pidchos Elio. We are in Bava Kama, Perichas Mishnah Zayin. Afal Pishu no sein lo, eno nimchalo achivakesh mimenu. So the whole Perich Achova was speaking about injuring someone, but the Mishnah here says even if you pay, you compensate the victim, nonetheless, eno nimchalo, you're not going to be forgiven until you ask for forgiveness. Shene amar v'ata hashev eshes v'gomer. This is the pasuk in Parshas Vayera, where Avimelech wronged Avraham, obviously, by taking Sarah. And it says, Vata, and now, Hashev Eshes Ha'ish Ki Navihu, Vizpalel Badcha, he's a Navi, you have to return his wife, and Vizpalel Badcha, and he will daven for you. So you see that Avimelech was not forgiven until Avraham davened for him. And davened on his behalf, and Avraham would do that because the understanding behind that is, of course, the Gemara explains that that Avraham obviously was asking for rachamim for Avimelech on his behalf because Avimelech had asked for forgiveness. And Avram davened for him as well. From where do we know that a person, the mochel, a potential mochel, should not be cruel and should forgive right away? So you see for me that Avram davened right away and Hashem healed Avimelech. And even if you want to argue that maybe Avram did lift him Mishur HaSadin, so the explanation that the Mepharshim give is that that may be true regarding the davening, but regarding the mechila, so that the Torah doesn't say. The Torah says Avram davened for him. Doesn't say Avram forgave him. So the reason why the Torah doesn't say that is because maybe Vayis Palel is lifnim Yishur HaSadin, is where Avram went beyond the letter of the law to daven on his behalf. But at least the fact that Avraham was mochel, so that already is min hadin. That is something that's self-evident that he did and is halachically mandated. And that's not lifnim Yishur HaSadin to give the mechila, to grant the mechila, to daven on behalf of the person. That's another level. Then the Mishnah says, Ha'omer, Sameyes Eini, Ketaes Yodi, Shavores Ragli, Chayav. If a person says to his friend, I want you to blind my eye, I want you to cut off my hand, I want you to break my leg, and the friend did that, Chayav, the friend has to pay for all five things. We assume this is a halach. He's not permitted to listen to it just because his friend said so. His body is not his, and therefore, we assume that he's going to be Chayav. Obviously, his friend does not want to be harmed, and therefore you're chayv to pay, even though he said to him, I want you to break my leg, cut off my hand, etc. Almanas liftor, still chayv. And even if he says to him, oh, by the way, you can, in advance, you can blind my eye or break my leg, almanas liftor, and you're going to be potter, still he's chayv, because we don't assume a person is mochel on the tzara of their guf, and we assume that he's not serious. And the others explain the Mishnah that when he says Almanas Liftor, that wasn't part of the first statement. Meaning, when he says blind my eye, let's say Almanas Liftor, on the condition that you'll be Potter, we say you're even Chayiv there. The way others explain the Mishnah is that Almanas Liftor is not the statement that was made by the first person, the one who said blind my eye. Rather, he said blind my eye, and the other person responded, really, Almanas Liftor? Will I be Potter? And the person says yes. So then the halacha is that he's going to be chayef, because we assume that when the person answered yes, it was really not a serious yes. What he meant was, well, when he said to him like this, he said, I want you to cut blind my eye. And the other guy says, really? Almanas Liftor, he said. And he said, yeah. So what he meant by, he may be sarcastic, and yet, as if I really want you to do so. And therefore, we interpret his the fact that he said yes really as a no. But according to this understanding, if in fact, let's say the person really said, you can blind my eye, Almanas Liftor, then he would be punched. So different ways to understand the Mishnah. And the same thing with the next statement. Person says to his friend, Karas Kisusi Shavores Kadi, Chayef. He says to his friend, I want you to rip my clothing. I want you to break my pitcher. And he gives him, it sounds like he gives him permission. Nonetheless, he's chayef to pay him. But Almanas Liftor, but if he adds on this statement, tear my clothing or break my pitcher on the condition Libi Pater, then, says the Mishnah, then Pater. In fact, you are Pater there, because your body is not yours to be mochel on, but your mamon is. So you have the right to say Pater. So, and the way others explain, this is Bartunu's explanation as the previous case, that this is where he said, rip my clothing, shavoris kadi, break my pitcher, almanas lift, or on the condition will be put, but rather, he said, kras kusi, rip my clothing, break my cod. And you know what he asked him? Almanas lifter, will I really be putter? So what did he answer him? He said to him, and he answered him what? Here he answered no. He said to him, no. So once again, according to the Bar Tanura, the first person says, rip my clothing. The other person says, really? Amanas liftu labli pater. And he responds, not like the previous case of the body, where he said, yes. Here he says, no, you're not going to be pater. Halacha is, in the Mishnah, you're still pater. Why are you pater? So the same way we explained before, when he said yes, he was being sarcastic. Here, when it comes to the body, here we assume the no is sarcastic too when it comes to the clothing, when it comes to the mama. Why? Because what did he say to him? I want to rip my clothing. So he said, really? I'll be putter? And so what did he say? No. Right? What does no mean? No meant, of course you'll be putter. I said you'll be putter. It's my mama. It's my money. I have the right to tell you if I want you to rip it, I have the right to say that you can rip it and you're going to be putter. Then you're going to be putter. And the Gemara says, our Mishnah is dealing with a case where the kalim came to the hands of this person, what we call betara shmira, which means he was a shomer. He was a shoel. He borrowed them. He was the nifkad. He was given to him as a deposit. And therefore, if the Baal of the Kalim says, rip that piece of clothing, break that cod that you have in my possession that you're guarding, so therefore you're going to be chayv. Remember, the case of the Mishnah is where he says, rip my clothing. Break my cod, you're going to be chayv. But only if he adds on almanas lifter, you're going to be putter. Or if maybe you ask almanas lifter, you're going to be putter. Even if he says no. So, but if you just said the person just said the statement, rip my clothing, we say you're going to be chayv. Oh, he didn't say almanas lifter. Those, the circumstances of that where he says, rip my clothing, break my cod, is where you are a shoel or a shomer sachar or a shomer chinam. You are a shomer on that object, and therefore, if he tells you, "I want you to break this," you're not allowed to, unless he said you're going to be putter. Why? Because since you're a shomer, the understanding is that you're not allowed to break it. You're not allowed to rip it because it came into your hand b'tara shmir. Therefore, you have to pay. And it's as if he said to you, "Yeah, you can rip my since you're a shomer, you can rip my clothing. You can break my cod, of course, almanas l'shalim. Yeah, you can, but you're going to have to pay for it. So, but of course, if he added on that you'll be putter, so then we understand why you would be putter. But let's say when he gave it to him, they gave him the kalim I'm giving you the kalim right now. When he says, here, take my kli and break it. Take my bag and I want you to rip it. And he did so. Even if he didn't say almanas lifter, he's going to be potter. Why? Because here, this person didn't even enter as a shomer. So he had no responsibility at all to this. He says, I want you to take this and rip it. That's okay. When it's betorah shomer, you're going to be chayav unless he says almanas lifter. But if he gives you right now, take it and rip it, then you're not even a shomer on it. Then you have the right to do so, based on the pasuk Tain Ish El Reu Kesef Okelim Lishmor. What do we learn from there? Lishmor Velo La Abed Velo La Kroa. You have to guard it, and you can't destroy it. You can't rip it. So that's if you gave it, he gave it to you as a shomer. Then you're going to be chayv. Then that's they're going to be negligence on your part. But if he gave it to you to destroy it, so then you're going to be potter. Let's say he says to his friend, I say, Kain Ish Ploni Amanas Liftor. He says, I want you to rip this guy's clothing, and you'll be potter, which basically means I'll pay for it. Halach is chayev. The shaliach, this person who is asked to rip it, is going to be chayev. And that would be true, bein begufo, bein mimamano. Whether he said blind this guy's eye or cut his hand off, break his leg, or even rip his clothing, break his cod. Why? Because ain't shaliach l'dvar aveira. So therefore, the one who did the Aveira is going to be chayef to pay. The other person can't say, well, you're going to be pata on breaking someone else's kli. The Rambam writes, Hilchos Chov Perakei, Bahalacha Yudgimel, Af Al Pisha Ose Chayev L'Shalim, even though the one who did it is going to be chayef, Hareze HaOmer Lo, the one who told him to do so, the Mishaleach, Shutafo Ba'avon V'Rasha, he is a Shutaf, he's a partner in this Aveira, and he's a Rasha as well. Sharei Hichshil Iver, V'Chizek, Yidei Over Aver, because he was Lifne Iver Lositin Michshol, he put a stumbling block in front of someone who's blind, and he supported and strengthens Yidei Yover Avereya. We begin the ninth perek. Hagozel Eitzim Mishnah says the following: Hagozel Eitzim Basan Kalim, person who stole wood and he turned it into Kalim. A tsemer, wool, vasan begadim, and made the wool into clothing. So he's a gazlan. But now there's a change, there's a shinoi in the object. Mishalim kishas hagzela, he has to pay the value of whatever it is at the time that he stole it. Obviously, he takes a piece of wood, now he makes it into a chair, so the chair is worth a lot more than the piece of wood. He doesn't pay for the value of the chair, he pays for the value, of course, of the wood. Now, the Gemara says, on that side, the Gimel Mishnah is dealing with a case where you have a gazlan who took wood that was not smooth, not planed, and he did it himself. He made it into a kli, into a pestle that you use with the mortar. And so this is what we call a shinoi she'eino chozer lebriyaso. There's no way to bring this piece of wood back to its original state. It's a shinoi hashem. It's a new. It was wood, and now it's a pestle. Now it's a kli. So that's a shinoi hashem. A shinoi she'eino chozer lebriyaso. But let's say he stole wood that was already smoothed. Pieces of boards and nailed them together and made that into a chair or a table where he's able, you can really take it apart. This is reversible. This is a shinoi hachozer lebriyaso. So then we don't assume the gazlan acquires the object and now just pays its value. Since he can take apart the chair, we assume that he has to take apart. We'll learn a little bit later there are halachos about what we call takonas hashavim. Takonas derabanan maybe the chachamim have said in order to encourage people to return objects that they don't have to take them apart necessarily. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Certainly, if he steals a wood that hasn't been planed, hasn't been smoothed out at all, and he didn't even make it into a kli, so there's no question there. He certainly has to return the piece of wood itself. There's no takonos we need to make to encourage him to return that. And he said, no, I want to keep this. I'm going to pay you the money instead. So obviously, there's no reason for that. Or the case, let's talk about tzemer. Tzemer, he stole wool, and it was wool that was not spun. He made it into felt, which is a shinui, a she'eino chozer lebriyaso. That's irreversible because you can't separate the fibers anymore. And it's a shinui hashem. Why it was called tzemer, and now it's changed. Now it's felt. Same idea as the wood. And let's say he steals spun wool. And he made it into a garment. So he doesn't really, he's not really kona that because that is the shinui hachozer lebriyaso. It can return. You can separate the strands and you can bring it back to the way it is. Maybe a takana that he doesn't have to return the object and he can pay money instead. But officially, that's a shinui that is chozer lebriyaso. There are those who say that if the owner, let's say, is miyayish, he is complete yish, he's never going to get it back. Then the gazlan will acquire it, makes a kinyan gazela, even with a small change, even making wool, spun wool into a garment, that is reversible. So in all of these cases, hagozel eitzim asan kalim, tzemer asan begadim, mishalem kishas hagzela. What does he pay? He pays the value of the wood or the wool that it was when he stole it. He doesn't have to return the kli, doesn't have to return the beged that he made, and doesn't have to pay for the value of those either. This is based on the pasuk. It says veheishiv zagzela asher gazal. That phrase is extra. Of course, you have to return the gzela that asher gazal that you stole. What's asher gazal? So it says, you have to return the gzela asher gazal that you stole. Im kein sher gazal yachzir, the Gemara says, if it's kein, if it's intact the way it was when you stole it, then you return it. Vim lav, but it's not. There's a change in it. It's not what it was before. Then damin ba'alma ba'yishlume. Then all you have to do is pay its value. Then the Mishnah says gazal param uberes v'yolda. Person person stole a cow, it was pregnant, and it gave birth while it was in the goslin's possession. Rachel tu'una ugzaza, or he stole a sheep that had it laden with wool, and he sheared the sheep. Mishalim demei para ha'omedes leilad, Rachel ha'omedes ligazes. He has to pay the value of a para that is about to give birth, and the value of a sheep that is about to be shorn. And the difference, let's say, between the value from before and the value now of the calf and the fleece that he has, that belongs to the gazlan because he's kone that through his kinyan gezela. There is a machlokas whether we consider the birth of this pregnant cow as a shinui in the body of the cow, or let's say the shearing of the sheep. Is that considered a change in the body? So some Rishonim say that's not considered a change. It's true, we allow the robber to keep the calf that's born or the fleece that's shorn. Nonetheless, he has to return the cow or the sheep as it's intact and pay whatever for the decrease in its values in the time that he stole it when it was pregnant and had wool until now. That's one opinion. Other Rishonim say no. The birth of a cow, that's considered a shinu. The shearing of the wool of a sheep, that's considered a change in the body itself of the animal. And therefore, he does acquire it at this point, and therefore he doesn't have to return the animal itself. He pays the amount that the animal is worth at the time that he stole it. Mishnah continues, Gazal Parav and Isabra Etzlo. So this is different. The previous case was where he stole a para that was Muberis, who was pregnant already, or a Rachel that already had fleece. Here he stole a para and now became pregnant by him, or the Yolda, and then it gave birth. Rachel, he stole a sheep, and it didn't have any wool. Vinit Ana Etzlo. Now it was laden with wool when it was with him. Ugzazah, and then he sheared it. Mishalem Kishas Hagzela. So in this case, not only does he acquire the calf or the wool, if the cow, let's say, gives birth while it's in his possession, or the sheep is shorn while it's in possession, but even if it's still pregnant, or it still has wool when he's paying up for it, he has to pay only for the value when he's stolen. And that understandable according to the second view we had before. And remember, just as giving birth or being shorn is considered a change in the animal, according to the second opinion, certainly becoming pregnant and having a body full of wool is also considered a shinui. According to the first opinion, that in the previous case, that was not considered a change. So we don't assume that becoming pregnant and becoming laden with wool is also, that's also not considered a change. And therefore, what does the goslin do? He has to return the animal. In this case, remember, we stole a para, became pregnant by him, and then gave birth. He returns the animal, and the owner is going to pay the difference between the original value and the value that it is right now. Now, after it's all over, after it's now gave birth, and after it's shorn, Zahaklal, Mishnah gives you the general rule. All goslin pay what the value is when they stole. Now that seems superfluous. We already said that. That's what it said. Mishlam k'shas hagzel, beginning of the Mishnah. So the Gemara Daf Tzadi Vav says that this comes to include something. In case of a goslin who steals, let's say, a lamb, and now becomes a ram, becomes an isle, or he steals a calf and eagle and becomes a shore, let's say. So the Tana is teaching us he acquires the animal with this shinui. And if, let's say, he shechs the animal, sells the animal, he doesn't have to pay dalad vehei. Why? Because the shechita that he's doing, the mechiri he's doing, is on his own animal, because he used koneid through the gzela and the shinui. But he does have to pay kefel, of course, if he's a ganav, that is. Not talking about a goslin, a ganav has to pay kefel at the time, of course, where the value of the animal was double at the time that he stole it.